Welcome to What's Poppin', a podcast where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace a little bit better and dig deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. Today, my guest is Nina Chuang. Nina, thanks for coming today.
Nice to meet everyone. What's poppin'? Hope everyone is having an amazing day.
Yes. So, Nina, how long have you lived in the area?
I have lived in the area all my life. My family came here way before I was born for work. And yeah, I have been here before the new building.
Yeah.
When we were in the Veritas. Okay. I was baptized there. I don't remember any of it, but yeah.
All right. So you've been at Prince of Peace your entire life then?
Yes.
Yeah. Same house? Grew up in the same house?
Same house.
Same house. Parents are still there.
Same road that we drive every morning on Sunday.
Every morning on Sunday. All right. So you hustled to get here for this podcast from San Jose, right? You go to school in San Jose. And for what degree are you going to school?
Yes, I'm a senior at San Jose State. I'm studying food science with a minor in Asian American Studies, hoping to, after I graduate, cross my fingers, hopefully this spring, I want to take a year to work, want to see my focus for my career, and then I'm going to go back to grad school, I really want to focus on public health and public policy.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so that's big aspirations you have there.
Yeah. I got into food science because I'm just a natural foodie, that's just been my way of really knowing my culture and my identity.
Yeah.
And I just love food. Like,
you do love food.
Everyone knows. Like, yeah. I think there's a running thing where if anyone needs a place to eat at church, they either text me or my sister.
Yeah. You're the one to talk to, that's for sure. You've been everywhere and you have a suggestion for every kind of food there is. Where can you get a good gyro around here?
Gyro. Oh, what's the name? It's near Boudin and Whole Foods.
Really?
Oh my gosh, we get it all the time.
I thought I could stump you with that one.
No, it's literally, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm picturing that area, that little shopping area.
So there's like Whole Foods here on, you know, the corner, and then there's Boudin.
Yep.
And then there's that gyro place.
In between it.
Yes.
I can't think of the name of it.
But their falafel wrap is amazing.
Really?
Like, I eat it so many times.
That's good to know. All right, Nina. You weren't in person for the message this past Sunday, but you watched it on the live stream. So what are two things you thought were interesting or good and made you think more about the previous message?
I think that what really stood out to me from the message was empowering the next generation to receive Jesus and to be leaders. And also just, I really like what Pastor Zelt said about how Moses is an example of, kind of sets an example for us as Christians to be leaders in our communities and things like that. And the second thing was we are all uniquely made to receive God's calling and in our unique seasons.
So what kind of season do you think you're in right now?
I think I'm in a season of being a friend. As a college student, I'm constantly learning and growing and being part of so many different things. And I think that what comes with being a friend is really caring for the people around you. Yeah. Also sometimes being their voice and advocating for them on their behalf. And also just really being there and providing resources when they need it. As a student at San Jose State, I also serve in student government as a student body president. And it's kind of...
You're student body president?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And...
So you do want to get into politics at some point.
Cross my fingers. Maybe if God calls me to go there. But okay. If not, I'm also really open to all these different aspects. I feel like God has really given me the privilege to serve and to really center my identity as a child of God in these spaces.
Yeah.
And I guess when it comes to being a friend and really serving where God has led me to be, it shows me that, you know, there's a, in the past, in this sermon, Pastor Zell talks about how the experiences that you are currently facing or have faced has prepared, is God preparing you for your next season, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, as an Asian American woman growing up in the Bay Area, lived throughout my life, I realized that all the experiences and the journey that I've been through is mm-hmm. is God really meticulously putting me in the right spots.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
That's cool. You are a very self-realized young lady.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, pretty good for your age, that's for sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you hit the nail on the head with the fact that you are a child of God, a baptized child of God. It all starts there. Like all your vocations, all your seasons start there. And when you start there, you can really see your life in the proper light and where you have purpose. And then, mm-hmm. you know, for me, once you understand your purpose, you can really enjoy life. Like even the hard times, the difficult times, you know you're fulfilling a purpose. You know, it's just, it makes those hard times worth it sometimes.
Yeah. I'm so thankful for people in the church who have really helped me center my identity first as a child of God, because mm-hmm. I've been equipped to be a leader in my own way, right?
Yeah.
And serving in student government, it's definitely not like a Christian welcome space.
Yeah.
And even like I'm part of college ministry, but student government takes so much of my time.
Yeah.
And having that center and that roots in the church mm-hmm. and learning how to share God's love in the ways in student government and talking with folks around, it really shows me that like, it's important for us to understand our purpose. And my only sole goal, if you talk to me at school and stuff, is just to help nourish our community mm. and really showing love to one another. And for me, secretly and publicly, also sharing God's love that way too.
Yeah. Good. We should mention too that you are also the current captain of the youth ministry team here at Prince of Peace. How's that going?
It's going amazing. I just feel like so privileged to be in these spaces. Like, I never expected myself to be nominated for this. And also, I sometimes get imposter syndrome, like, because a lot of times, you know, in church council meetings yeah. or in the YMT meetings, mm-hmm. I'm usually, like, the youngest person.
Yeah.
And there are moments where I have to really remind myself that God has placed me in these roles for a reason,
yeah.
for me to be an advocate, to have share a different perspective
yep.
than others. So
there's so much, especially as you're growing up and you're still, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a young woman, young adult woman, right? But you're still growing up. And like, I'm still growing up. Like I'm 45 years old. Right. And there are still times where I'm put in a position where I'm just like, all right, I've never been here before. Never mm-hmm. thought I would ever be in this position. I don't know what's going on, but I have to act like I know everything's happening. It's normal, right? And so I don't know if it's really an imposter as much as going with where you've been placed and not being shook by the fact that it's outside your norm or,
right.
you know, it's something you haven't done before. And mm-hmm. so I would encourage you, don't think of yourself as being an imposter as much as someone who's learning how to be in that space.
Facts. That's hella true. And I think that, like, I really like what you said, because there are moments, I mean, I feel like when I talk to other Christians, like, it's pretty relatable where you sometimes doubt where God has put you in. Talking about this season where God has called you and trying to look for opportunities, Pastor talked about trying to keep your eyes open
yeah.
for opportunities and for doors to be open.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments where, when you're having those eyes open, and for me, in the back of my head, sometimes I'm like questioning, am I supposed to be keeping my eyes open right now? Am I supposed to be walking through this door right now? God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just blindly walking through.
Yep.
And there are moments where it's okay to sit with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially in the youth ministry team, it sometimes it's full circle moment, because like, I feel like I'm still a youth. I'm still kind of seen as a youth because, you know, I'm still in college and everyone still sees college kids as kids.
Well, to be fair, it's fair to a point. like you are still in school. You're still learning how to be an adult.
Right.
Right. And like I said, you got your head on your shoulders, but a lot of people your age, right, aren't paying their bills and doing stuff.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, you for know, sure.
And so there's still a bit of a kid aspect to that.
But yeah, I think it's really cool to talk about how the ministry has started to kind of restructure and rename things and really being intentional with how we educate the next generation, right? Empowering the next generation to be leaders in their community and to be God's children publicly and not being afraid of their identities as child of God. And I think that for me, like, it just really privileged to be in this space because that's where I grew my faith was through confirmation and things like that. Shout out to Kathy Barco for being my confirmation leader. I don't know. It's not called confirmation anymore.
Foundation and framework.
Yes.
Yeah.
Confirmation.
It's expanded.
Yes.
Right?
Foundation and framework. I love that foundation and frameworks because it's more accessible to students. And also that confirmation is just a really like intense word.
It's a very intense word. And historically it has its place, you know, and we're going to do affirmations of faith and testimony still. So there's still a lot of the aspects you could get from confirmation, but confirmation seems like, oh, and I'm done.
Right.
Right. And we're never done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like after you do that, you receive that, you know, that your confirmation verse and then all that stuff. It's like, bye guys.
Now you're an adult.
You're on your own now.
Yeah.
But I just really like how we've started to restructure and reframe things because it's just so helpful for youth who are navigating the world. Like these big words sometimes aren't as accessible to students. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Anything else from previous message that you want to talk about or thought was interesting?
Yeah, I think I've just been so empowered recently by the series about examining Moses being a leader and what really hit me was, like, amidst, you know, all the protests and everything from their community, Moses still followed God's calling, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I think that being a, we're not millennials, I'm a Gen Zer.
You're
being
a Gen Z.
I'm a Gen Zer, everyone.
Yes.
But being a Gen Zer in this climate, in this community, in California has definitely been really intense. And like there are moments where I'm like, is this safe for me to announce that I'm Christian and to be my full authentic, live my faith life like authentically and publicly, right? Hearing Moses' story about how their community was really against him and was telling him, you're not doing your job, and has really hit me like when I was sitting in church, because like being a student leader, right? There's definitely moments where like what you do is very public, and there are moments where I have to really step back and be like, why am I here? What's my purpose here, right? My purpose is to share God's love and to be a guide if people are really searching and really looking for that relationship with God, right? It's really shows me that I'm not alone as a leader.
Yep.
And that
you're experiencing typical leader things, especially
typical leader things.
Especially Christian leader things.
Yes.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of like the stereotypical serving in ministry is like to serve in the church and to go into ministry and being in these like unconventional Christian leadership roles definitely is like a different perspective, and how you do things and work with others, it shows too. And when I tell people that I'm Christian, they're like, "You're Christian? What?" And it's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, in this kind of climate in the community, there's like a lot of stereotypes of what Christians are, and being your authentic self and really showing God's love first, I think really shifts people's perspective about who God is, who God really is, and how important it is to have him in your life.
Yeah. I like how you express that people often think that being a leader for like a Christian leader has to happen somehow within the church wall realm, right? But really, it's supposed to happen in all your vocations.
Right.
Right. And so it's not just for those of us who get a paycheck for doing it. It's for everyone who is a believer, like, and is a child of God. Like that's where you start, whether you're a plumber or a pastor or a DCE or a student or whatever it is. You start being a child of God and everything comes out of that. Yeah,
I love that because, like, Pastor talked a lot about how, like, you can be a leader even just being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a leader organizing basketball.
Yep.
Right? And it shows us that, like, you know, showing God's love and being a Christian leader isn't about all the big movements and about doing all these huge things that you're supposed to do because you're expected to do all this. But
right.
those little things, those little baby steps really help empower one another and gather in community and things like that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, good. Anything else from the previous message?
I think that the biggest takeaway out of everything was just that we're all uniquely made to serve.
Mm.
Like being in the church constantly as an Asian American woman, like in our church, we're pretty diverse. But
yeah.
When I go to the National Youth Gathering to serve and things like that,
yeah.
like
it's a different story.
It's a different story.
Yeah.
And it shows me that there's so much room for us as a community to grow with one another and get to know one another.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to talk a little bit about like being Asian American in this Christian space.
Yeah.
I served on the National Youth Gathering on the media team.
Yeah.
I was one of three Asian Americans and everyone else was white. And I remember as a young adult volunteer, beginning of college, I was interviewed by the media team to talk a little bit about the Asian American experience and being Christian and this intertwining of identities and cultural aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Bay Area, we kind of have a lot of mixed cultures in our
For
group,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
And that's like, I feel like that's the most beautiful part of our church. But
mm-hmm.
first, the most beautiful part of our church is God. Second thing is our diversity and the amount of perspectives and communities that we bring.
Yeah.
And it really shows us that, like, you don't have to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to really have these, you know, roles or titles to be a child of God and
right.
to serve and to do your part in our community.
And to be part of the family.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that it's just so amazing to be in these spaces and God has really, like, put all these different little reminders in my life that, like, I'm still growing and I'm still navigating my faith walk. And it's being part of the church has been such an amazing way for me to just stay rooted and to remember my purpose.
Mm.
Yeah.
So switching gears slightly, well, big actually, if you could open a restaurant, what would be the main dish and where would you open it? And third part, would there be a theme to your restaurant?
Oh, that's so hard. Okay, so if I were to open a restaurant, what kind of food it would be?
Yeah, what would be like the main dish? What would be the specialty? And where would you open this restaurant? And what would be the theme if there was a theme? Because I could see you being someone who might like a theme in a restaurant.
Okay, my theme is noodles.
Noodles?
I love noodles. And noodles have, like, across different cultures, there's some type of noodle dish.
There's always
dish,
a noodle.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
And I just feel like in Chinese culture, noodles, like, are a symbol of longevity and longevity. That's it. So, like, you eat noodles on your birthday just to, like, live a long life, things like that. And so the main dish would be noodles, like different types of noodles. So it'd be like pho noodle, egg noodle, flat noodles, rice noodles. There's like a spaghetti squash.
Oh yeah.
That's spaghetti squash.
That's
so there's so many different noodles. I would have like a restaurant of different, all these different types of noodles from different cultures.
Nina's noodles.
Nina's noodles.
Yes.
Or like noodle farm.
Noodle farm.
Like something.
Nina's noodle farm.
Nina's noodle farm. And it would just have like different, I don't know why I thought of farm, but anyways. And like the main dish, it would be like, it would just be a type of noodle dish for each of these cultures. And like Malaysian, there's like a Malaysian culture, there's a noodle called laksa, which it has egg noodles plus a rice noodle in this kind of curry sauce soup. Super good.
Sounds really good.
It's amazing. So like that one, and then like Taiwanese culture, because I'm Taiwanese and Malaysian. Taiwanese culture would have like a beef braised noodle with like a thick hand pulled noodles with a really rich beef broth.
Ooh,
I'm getting
good.
Hungry.
I haven't had dinner yet.
Me neither.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm kind of hungry. My mom saved some fried chicken for me. We have a fried chicken noodle dish. Yeah, Anyways.
Would it be like an Italian pasta dish in there?
Ooh, yes. I went to Pasta Sisters in LA, like, over the summer, and it was amazing.
So where would you open this restaurant?
I want to have business, but I also want to be in a good spot.
Yeah.
You know that, you know when you exit church, and then, you know, like, the Washington on one side, there's that little, like, stoplight?
Yeah.
Before you see that car dealership thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I would have a little shack there.
Right there.
Like a little shack.
Just a little shack.
So then while you're waiting at the stoplight, which always takes forever.
It's just very long light.
You can order get a noodle bowl to go. Boom. You already have your lunch right after church.
So it'd be a to-go place.
A to-go place.
Yeah, not sit down.
And you can customize it and you can order ahead of time. So like right after church, you know when like people are talking and stuff and you're waiting for like your family to finish talking?
Yeah.
You could quickly order ahead of
waiting
time.
For your family to finish talking.
Yes. Oh, gosh. And I feel like that's like a...
That's church community time. You should be talking to people as well. Waiting for your family to finish talking.
Okay, after maybe like in the middle, like when you're walking, you know, when you've finished talking to someone
and you're on the
way out. Someone else.
Okay.
On your way out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like that little break of time.
Yeah.
You quickly order lunch for your family. Mm-hmm. Then at the stoplight, we're ready to go. Got your order for you. Take it home. Because 12:30, my stomach is growling all the time, even though I love talking with folks.
Yeah.
But like, I'm also like super hungry.
Yeah.
Unless I got like a really big lunch. Anyways, I don't want to sound like I don't talk to anyone, but
no, you do. But it was just funny how you phrased that, like waiting for your family to stop talking so you can get out of here.
I feel like the Christian experience is after church. There's like that you have to designate some time to talk.
Like, yeah, you do.
Yeah,
like that's part of the fellowship. Like,
right,
you don't come. Part of the worship experience is not just to come and sing songs and hear the word. It's about sharing time with each other. And so you have to be around and talk. Actually, we just got a fancy new coffee machine to help that situation.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Yeah. Do you have like a tea machine too?
It does. It has hot water.
Ooh.
Yeah.
'Cause I don't drink coffee, but that would be amazing for
it makes hot cocoa.
Hot cocoa.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I would have also drinks too. So like you could get boba to go too. I don't know how our little shack on that one stoplight would
fit
everything.
It's gonna have all that. Yeah.
But you know, it could work. It could be underground. Like the kitchen could be underground and we'll pass it.
You're an idea person.
I am an idea person.
Yeah.
Like at school people call me the idea machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nina, it's been a blast having you on the podcast. I appreciate you making the time and coming out. I'll have to have you back again. You actually would be a good person to interview other people too, I think.
Ooh, I'm down for that.
Yeah, just had Peter Trudell do that. So guest interviewers is what
I'm doing.
Guest
interviewer?
Yeah, so interviewing somebody else. I'm not involved at all on them.
Am I celebrity now?
Yeah, pretty much. You will be. Thanks, Nina.
Thank you, everyone.